the head man, the guy that's in charge. He calls the plays and has this team playing for a championship, Steve Tunn. Steve, congratulations on everything so far. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you making time for us. And by the way, Steve, I'll be there on Saturday right by your side on the field once again, helping Doug Plagans out with the call. I'm looking forward to it. How about the players? Are they excited? They jacked up for a chance to play for a championship?
I tell you, they are. And especially, you know, with the 2 weeks off, these guys are, you know, they're tired of practicing already and they are ready to go, especially being in front of their home fans.
I was going to ask you about that because we hear about it during the Super Bowl in the NFL, Coach. And, you know, some players like the 2 weeks to rest and get rid of the bumps and bruises. Others hate it because, you know, they want to play right away. What did you do as a coach to keep them focused but also help them get healthy and maintain that killer instinct you guys have had all season long during this two-week layoff?
Right. There was a couple things we had to do. We had not had our two byes were early in the year. So our guys had just played 15 straight weeks. So last week it was really important, especially a couple guys were really banged up. We gave them 4 days off. We just said, hey, heal up, let them come in, get treatment, get rehab, that type of thing. And then right before the weekend, we had a couple good practices on Friday and Saturday. Then we started this week, just regular game week this week. So we're ready to go.
Steve, when the season began, were the expectations legitimate? Everybody says at the beginning of the year, hey, we want to make the playoffs. We think we can make the playoffs. Everybody says that because if you don't, then there's something wrong with you as a coach or a player, right? But were you thinking that there was the possibility of this team, it could play for the Arena League Championship?
You know, going into it, we knew we had a good core group of guys coming back from last year. We finished strong, even though our record wasn't that good. We finished strong, had a chance to win a lot of the games. So we knew we had a good core group coming back, and we knew we had some good vets from the Arena Football League that we picked up in the offseason. So going into camp, we felt, hey, this is a team that, you know, we have a pretty good team. We're going to win a lot of games. And, you know, talked about the playoffs right away. Now, you can't, you know, you can never imagine doing something like we've done this year so far. I mean, that, you know, obviously winning all the close games and everything falling our way and the guys playing great. I mean, you just can't imagine that. But going into it, we thought we'd have a pretty good season.
You mentioned the close games, the cardiac kids of the Arena Football League. I mean, you beat Philadelphia three times this year on the final play of every game, including a playoff game on August 2nd when Petrie kicks the 36-yard field goal to win it. Why was your team able to rise to the occasion in the pressure-packed moments and win those three and other close games this year?
You know, I think it's a couple things. I mean, I say it all year. I give our players all the credit. I mean, they're the ones out there playing. You know, Arena Football comes down to the fourth quarter a lot. I mean, that's just the way the game is. So, we talked about it a lot in training camp. Hey, we're going to have close games. You know, never give up, finish, that type of thing. But it's one thing saying it, and it's another thing that, you know, our guys went out and did it. And I think that's the biggest thing. You know, we gave ourselves a chance to win. And not only did the guys finish it, but they finished it in dramatic fashion.
We're talking with the head coach of the Cleveland Gladiators, Steve Tunn. His team will play for the Arena League Championship in Cleveland Saturday night, 8 o'clock. When we're done with the interview, we're going to give away a pair of tickets so you can go watch the Gladiators win a championship in C-Town. And one of the biggest moves you made this year, Steve, was the quarterback position. You started out with Chris Dieker as your quarterback, and then about week four, you insert Shane Austin into the starting lineup, and the rest is history, as they say, 99 touchdown passes in the regular season, 12 more rushing touchdown passes. What transpired there for you to make that switch, and why has Shane excelled in the position?
You know, there was really a couple things. I mean, we look back on it, and Chris was our starter going into training camp. And, you know, we had really all we had on Shane last year was a highlight film from a few games they played for Pittsburgh. But what I saw in the highlight film was just I liked the way he got rid of the ball. I liked the way he read. You know, you could tell he was really accurate. And then that just carried over in the training camp. So when we started training camp, it was just obvious that, you know, Shane was a pretty good quarterback. And I've said this all along. It's not so much that Chris faltered a little bit, but I think it's just so much that we knew Shane was pretty good and we needed to get him in the game. So, once we put Shane in there, I think the guys kind of rallied behind him. And once we got going, you know, it was pretty obvious that he was going to have a good year.
How much do you think it's mental with him and what he does. I saw a story about his father and the mental approach thing that they do and everything like that. How much do you think that has made a difference in his quarterback play in a league where quick reads are so important?
You know, I think it has a lot to do with it. I didn't even know about a lot of that stuff here until the end of the year. So at the beginning of the year, just watching Shane, the biggest thing I saw was just how even keel he was. He never got too high, too low. You know, just kind of stayed in the moment all the time. If he had a bad throw, you could tell it, you know, it really didn't bother him. He just kind of came back and went on with the next play. So, and I think a lot of that does have to do with the focus and everything he does. So, you know, really, it's been fun to coach him just because, you know, we're always looking new plays. We're always looking at something new. And you say, hey, what about this read? He goes, yeah, that's good. You know, he's always positive about everything. So whenever you throw something out at him, you know, he's pretty receptive to it.
What about that Philadelphia game? He did not have one of his best games. I think he was picked, what, five times in that game, right? Five interceptions, but yet had some rushing touchdowns, did throw a couple of touchdown passes. It says a lot about a guy in a playoff game with the season on the line not having his best game, but yet still being able to come through when it mattered.
Yeah, it really did. I mean, he was, you know, during the game, I could tell he was kind of down, and I just kept saying, Shane, yeah, you're not playing great here, but look at the score. We're only down by a touchdown, or it's a tie game. We're still in this game, so you got to keep going no matter what. You got to keep going. And, you know, obviously he had some bad throws, but when we watched film, it was the whole offense. It wasn't just Shane. And really, I didn't have any doubt that last week he would bounce back and have a good game.
Yeah, he had a great game. I watched it on TV, and you guys defeated the Predators of Orlando 56-46 to set up the matchup this Saturday, 8 o'clock at the Q against the Arizona Rattlers. Before we get to them and some of the problems they might give you, let's give some love to the guys that were catching those 99 touchdown passes in the regular season from Shane Austin. Dominic Goodman, let's see, he caught 34 of them. Theron Lewis caught 37 of them, and Colin Taylor with 20 touchdown grabs. Your receiving core, I guess the two best receiving cores in the league are squaring off against each other, aren't they, this week?
You know, they really are. And you look at our receivers, and we might not be, you know, you look at it compared to other teams, maybe the fastest or the, you know, the best receivers. But I tell you what, our guys have been they're so reliable and so dependable. You know, Goody gets open all the time. T. Lou is our kind of our deep route runner. Colin Taylor, a little bit of everything. But they all, you know, they all kind of fit into the offense real well. And like I said, they're probably the most reliable group, maybe not the most flashy group, but the most reliable group in arena.
When we talk arena football, it mostly is about offense. You know, everybody loves the high-scoring games, and there's touchdowns and big plays and that. But as I learned in watching the game that I did on TV for you guys, watching last week, a defensive play, one defensive play can change the entire outcome of the game because you want to get that two-score lead. And in that game against Orlando, what was it, second and goal, I think, on your one-yard line, and they fumble the ball. You guys return it to the one-yard line the other way, handoff tight. It's a 14-point swing. So isn't it about finding that one maybe defensive stop, Coach, that could settle the game and the outcome?
You know, it really is. And our defense, you know, we've had a great defense the whole year. Our defense early in the year was keeping us in games, just playing great. And I think, you know, our offense has been overshadowed by it a little bit, but our defense has been unbelievable this year, and they have been awesome in the playoffs. And it's like you said, you're going to have games in arena football where, you know, it's going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. You take a lead, they come back and tie it. And in games like that, it's so important to get that one critical stop where you can get that two-touchdown lead, and that's what we were able to do last 2 weeks ago. So, you know, again, a lot of times you're hoping our defense always wants to get, you know, two, three, four, five stops.
Yep.
But the way arena football is sometimes that one big stop at the right time is what's going to change the game for you.
Steve Tunn, head coach of the Gladiators, joining us here on News Talk 1480 WHBC. Then how impressive was it, Steve, the game I got to do on TV with you guys, that you pitched a shutout in the second half? How often does that happen in arena football, pitching a shutout in the second half of a game?
You know, it doesn't happen very often. I mean, you know, like I said, you're trying to get one or two stops a half, and I think we got five in the one half and shut them out. So, you know, I think the thing about our defense is that I think when they get on a roll, we're a very physical group. So when we get on a roll and we start getting things going our way, I think they're kind of out for blood a little bit. And I think that's what happened that game. Once we got in a roll, I don't think they wanted to let them score the second half. And they were able to pull it off, but it doesn't happen that often.
Man, let's give some love to the defensive players, LJ, LaRoshi Jackson, Dominic Jones, and one of your best defensive players, had 12 picks, 95 tackles this year. As you get into the playoffs, you find out that the Baltimore Ravens won him in the National Football League in Mario Norman, and you lose him. How were you able to adjust your defense without one of your best players?
You know, it's always tough, and that's the problem, you know, just kind of with our seasons overlapping a little bit, it gets tough right there. But after our last game in Tampa, actually Mario came up to me in the airport on the way back and said the Ravens want to sign him. So, you know, we're happy for Mario. I mean, that's why a lot of these guys play. We want them to have a chance to move up and have a chance, shot in the NFL. So, again, as you're happy for them, you know it's going to hurt us in the playoffs. But our guys, our defense has done all year. Joe Finnessy moved back and took Mario's place. And we brought in another guy at the Jack linebacker spot. And we really haven't missed a beat. I mean, again, we hated to lose Mario, but these guys have picked it up. And they've done that all year. We've actually had four defensive linemen go down with season-ending injuries. So they've kind of picked each other up the whole year, and they've done it now in playoffs.
Is Mario, he's definitely not back with you guys. He's still with the Ravens. He didn't get cut. I mean, if he got cut, he could come back and play, couldn't he?
Yeah, once he gets cut, he's eligible to come back right away, but he's still with them. I don't think the NFL, I don't think they're making any cuts this week. Their main cuts come next week after the third game.
All right, Steve, so tell me about the Rattlers. They're 15-3 in the regular season. They won their two playoff games, so 17-3. Kevin Guy is their head coach, and Davila played the quarterback at Cincinnati. I remember him with the Bearcats, and the dude has thrown 127 touchdown passes and only 11 interceptions. How do you stop somebody like that?
They're going to be tough to stop. I mean, Davila's, you know, obviously he's one of the best quarterbacks in our league, and he's done it now for 4 or 5 years. I think the strength of their offense is that their group has been together. Their quarterback and their receivers have really been together now for 2, 3, 4 years. So, you know, people keep asking me, you know, the only way to say it, they're just a good team. I mean, they don't have any weaknesses. They're strong at every position. They've been together for a while. They've won championships. So when you're watching film, you're trying to find some kind of weakness, and you just can't find it. So we know it's going to be a tough game.
Do you go back and watch their three losses closer because you're looking to see why those teams were able to defeat them?
You know, we've watched a little bit of everything. We've watched the last couple playoff games just because of personnel. You want to see who did they have in, you know, 2 weeks ago, who did they have in their first playoff game. You know, and Portland gave them a real tough game that first round of the playoffs. So, you know, we've watched those just because we think those are the guys that are probably going to be playing. And then, like you said, we get films. You know, we can watch any game. So, you know, we picked and chose, you know, a couple of them. We did. I watched their loss to Orlando. I think it was the last week or second to last week of the season. So, you know, we've watched some of those games. You got to be a little careful, though. You don't want to get too many things. You want to zero in on just a couple things. But we've watched probably 4 or 5 games on them.
As I've learned throughout sports, Steve, a lot of times it's about matchups. Certain teams just are tougher to play against, like Philadelphia for you guys, right? I mean, I don't think you were probably thrilled that you got them in the first round because they seem to be a tough matchup for you guys, and each game came down to the last play. As you look at Arizona, are they a good matchup for you, or is it tough to tell?
You know, it's really, I mean, at this point, I mean, you know, I don't know if it's a good match. I mean, they're the best team in the league. They've been there the last 2 years, and they could have won it 3 years ago, too. They missed it by a play. So, you know, I don't think you can say it's a great matchup because they're very good. So, but you also look at it like, you know, hey, when you get to the playoffs and you get to the championship, it doesn't matter who you play. You know, whoever's there, you have to play. Like you said, last game against Orlando was tough. Orlando beat Arizona a few weeks ago.
Right.
You know, our first game against Philly was tough. I mean, Philly, you know, had won the conference the last 2 years and were in the finals, so they were loaded with talent, so we had tough games with them. So I think we've been in enough tough games against enough good teams that I don't think that way we'll be phased at all, but it's going to be a tough matchup.
So, Coach, is this the last time you have to say to your guys, I just want you to go 1-0?
Yeah, we said it again today. We broke brackets with 1-0 today. I think the biggest thing now is, you know, it's a little, the stakes are a little higher. 1-0 gets us a championship. But I think our guys, we've kept that mentality the whole year. Hey, just concentrate on this game, nothing else. And the guys, you know, again, it's one thing saying it, and it's another thing doing it. And our guys have done a great job doing it. So hopefully we can get one more week here at 1-0.
Yeah, I can't wait. Saturday night, 8 o'clock at Quicken Loans Arena. Get on down. It's Browns, it's preseason. We know Hoyer's the starting quarterback, so it's a preseason. The Indians, okay, yeah, you can go to about 50 or 25 more games there. It's the last game of the season for the Cleveland Gladiators. They're playing for a championship. Get down there, make some noise, impact the game for Coach Tun and the players. And, Coach, I'll see you down there on Friday for media day and then Saturday for the game.
Sounds great. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Steve Tun, the head coach of the Cleveland Gladiators.